from the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Time now for Abandoned Manitoba, where we check in with Gordon Goldsboro from the Manitoba Historical Society. Good morning.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Remind us of the clue from last week.
When my parents were alive, their home was in the southeast quarter of Section 9, Township 9, Range 1 west of the principal meridian. Now, most country folk will recognize that address, but to a lot of city dwellers and young people, it's essentially gibberish. So this week, we're discussing a system called civic addressing that, for directing emergency personnel like paramedics, firefighters, and police, may lead to the abandonment of the old system of locating places, especially in rural Manitoba.
Yes, I remember that clue. I look forward to learning about the system. Where do we start?
Well, in this series, we talk about historic sites around Manitoba that I've been mapping for the Manitoba Historical Society. When I visit a historic site for the first time, I measure its precise latitude and longitude using a GPS receiver. But the old system of navigating the prairies that goes back to the 1870s was based on their position relative to the principal meridian. That's a marker located a short distance west of Headingley. Land in the three prairie provinces is divided into a grid of horizontal and vertical lines at 1 mile intervals. The area within a 1 by 1 mile square containing 640 acres of land is called a section. And each section is divided into four equal parts, quarter sections. When people began flooding into Western Canada in the 1870s, many of them were responding to a government offer of a free quarter section of land, 160 acres, on which to establish a farm.
How does one tell one section from another?
Aha, that's the trick. Sections were grouped into a square block 6 miles wide by 6 miles tall, or 36 sections in all, in what's called a township. Sections in a township are numbered in a zigzag pattern that starts in the southeast corner with section number 1. Then it goes west 6 miles to section 6. Section 7 is immediately north of 6, and section 12 is immediately north of 1. The final section, 36, is in the northeast corner of the township.
Wow, that sounds very confusing.
Yes, it does. You know, I recall an experience several years ago when a colleague and I were driving back roads in search of former one-room schoolhouses. We wanted to see if there were things like building foundations, water pumps, tree shelter belts, or monuments left at the site to indicate where the school building had been. I knew the sections in which the schools had existed, but my friend, who had not traveled much in the country, could simply not understand why, for example, I was only looking on one side of the road, that if a school had been in the northwest quarter of section 14, one would not find remains of it across the road in the southwest quarter of section 23.
Okay, those are sections and townships. What are ranges?
Ranges are a columns of north-south townships, and they're numbered based on their position east or west of the principal meridian. So range 1 west is the first 6 miles west of the meridian, while range 1 east is the first 6 miles east of it. So my parents' home in southeast 991 west was situated in the 9th township, or 49 miles north of the U.S. border, and midway across the first range, or 3 miles west of the principal meridian.
So this new system of locating places, how is it different?
Well, civic addressing was introduced to Manitoba in 1997, largely to avoid confusion on the part of emergency workers being dispatched to a particular location during a crisis. You know, a system that's easy to use may save critical minutes and therefore may save lives. It names each north-south road sequentially based on its location east or west of the principal meridian. So, for example, Road 29 West is located 29 miles west of the principal meridian. East-west roads are named based on their distance north of the U.S. border. A road right on the border would be known as Road 0N, 0 North, while Road 57N would be 57 miles north of the U.S. border. An individual home or business is assigned a 5 or 6-digit number based on the number of meters west of the nearest north-south road, with odd numbers on the north or the east side of the road, and even numbers on the south or the west side. This means that all rural sites can have an address like the ones we use in towns. So, for example, if we have an address in the rural municipality of Stanley, it might be something like 29131 Road 3N. The first two digits of the number 29131 represents the nearest road, in this case, 29W. The rest of the number indicates the address is 1,310 meters west of 29W. With this address alone, an ambulance, a fire truck, or a police car can find its way to the driveway of the home where the emergency exists, even if the driver is not familiar at all with the local area.
Is this civic addressing mandatory?
No, participation is voluntary on the part of Manitoba municipalities, but they're strongly encouraged to get on board simply because it is so much better at navigating to spots in a crisis. So as of 2006, the last year I checked, 91% of the municipalities in Manitoba had implemented civic addressing to some extent. It's a logical system, and I think it's easier to understand than sections, townships, and ranges. It's basically like using city addresses in the country. But it is an interesting hybrid of imperial and metric units, which I suppose makes sense given that Canada will never be a fully metric nation so long as we have the mile roads that were surveyed on the prairies back in the 1870s.
Metric nation, that sounds like a rock band. Is civic addressing replacing the system of sections, townships, and ranges?
The old system is still very useful for describing parcels of land for purposes like land transactions. You know, if you buy a quarter section from your neighbor, for example. I don't think it will ever be fully abandoned as such, but civic addressing is much better suited for identifying specific locations.
You said at the beginning that you use latitude, longitude to record the location of historic sites. Why don't you use civic addressing?
Well, Manitoba's civic addressing system won't replace latitude and longitude for us historical explorers, mainly because it has some drawbacks. For one thing, it requires extensive signage to work effectively. All the east-west and north-south roads have signs with their names, and each home or business has a small blue sign with its 5 or 6-digit number at the end of its driveway. If any of those signs are lost or damaged, the system is compromised. More significantly, only sites that are formally recognized by a municipality are given a civic address. The vast majority of the historic sites that I'm mapping don't have a civic address, and they never will. I do use civic addresses to tell me when I'm getting close to my destination, but latitude longitude is simply more precise. You know, it can get me to within a meter or so of a spot. So much as I think civic addressing will greatly simplify navigation in rural Manitoba, I don't think it will ever displace latitude and longitude coordinates. You know, they're really easy to use with a GPS receiver in your vehicle or with an app on your smartphone when you're heading out in search of Manitoba's history.
So interesting. Well, thank you so much for that, Gordon. And what's up for next week?
We're going to consider another building in limbo. You know, that's a vacant building whose fate is presently uncertain. This one is a Winnipeg building that is particularly significant to me because it's where I was born.
Oh, can't wait to learn more about baby Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.